Tomorrow, Adam Peters, Dan Quinn both have press conferences at the start of training camp for the Commanders. As of right now, those press conferences will be dominated by Terry McLaurin questions that they will either have to evade or dodge or, you know, tread lightly with. The last public comments came from McLaurin, and he took the team to task. He made it very clear he's not happy, and in addition to being upset, that he's hurt. And so he positioned them as the bad guys, basically, and they either have to swing back, which they're not going to do, or essentially wear that and lose in the court of public opinion and just kind of no-sell whatever their actual business is behind the scenes. I think that's what they're going to do. I think they're going to say, we're going to keep our conversation with him in-house. We're going to continue to negotiate in good faith. We want him to be here. But there is a small chance, I guess, that they could fight fire with fire. Now, I don't think they're going to come out and be negative anti-Terry McLaurin or like point out things that he doesn't do well. I'm not suggesting that. That's ridiculous. But they could absolutely say, he's supposed to be here, and he's not. And we're fining him $50,000 a day until he gets here. He has a contract, and he needs to be here helping the football team, which he's choosing not to do. That would be probably the most divisive thing they could do, and I don't think that's crazy if that's the route they take.
Yeah, that doesn't feel like them, does it? You know what I mean? It doesn't feel like Peters and Quinn would say something to that effect, even if it's true.
We haven't seen them in a situation like this
yet.
That's
fair.
This is the first time they've had to take care of one of their own, and they have chosen not to do that to this point.
My guess is it's a... We love Terry. We want him here. We can't wait till this is all said and done. Well, we're excited about what he's going to do for this football team, but guys are here working and try to evade it that way. But that just leads to more questions. So, you know, the PR team will be on it. They'll prep Quinn and they'll prep everybody, you know, to say the right things to dance around it. Again, they aren't going to do the Bruce Allen thing, right? Which is you get pissed off that things aren't going your way and you call a couple people in your office and throw a temper tantrum about how selfish the guy is. Like, they're just not going to do that.
They're better people.
Dubious honor, but yes.
And I mean that both in the way of decency as human beings, but also better business people, better people at how they handle and treat folks. When Scott McLuhan is being booted out the door and he has drinking problems that have popped back up again and have taken over his ability to do his job, they're not going to leak to the Washington Post damaging, awful things about his character and the fact that he's a drinker. That's just not how they're going to operate, right? And that's the big difference. But look, here's how I think it's going to go. They're going to say over and over again, we love Terry McLaurin. Terry McLaurin's going to be a big part of our future. We can't accomplish our goals without him. We want all of our players to be like Terry McLaurin. We plan on taking care of Terry McLaurin. The process is playing out. They're going to say those types of things over and over and over again. And there's going to be no negativity. I'm just saying there's a possibility. Like, I wouldn't have thought Terry Goat went as hard in the paint as he did at Eastern Motors. Now, if one of them was going to, it was going to be him. His agent, not the team, has been leaking all along how unhappy he was, how bad the negotiations going, how far apart they were. So, yeah, it stands to reason that McLaurin, not the team, is going to be the one to come out. He's the one that's hurt. The team isn't. He's the one that feels personally slighted. They don't, I don't think. I'm just saying prepare for the possibility, a small possibility. They're not going to do anything where they make him the villain because they know that that won't go over well publicly. But there's a small chance that they could just say, instead of 100% high-roading it, he needs to be here. It's time to show up now, Terry. We had the offseason. You didn't have to come for minicamp. You didn't have to come for this mandatory thing or that. We understand, but now it's time to get to work.
Yeah, the business of the season has started. We need you here.
And they could just say it's time to now focus on a Super Bowl and to put personal issues aside and to be a real member of this team. If they want to do that, I don't think that would go over terribly. I actually think plenty of people would say, yeah, that's reasonable. And they could say, and we do, someone's going to ask them, I promise you, do you plan on fining him? You know, $50,000 a day and like something about that fine. And they can either say, well, look, that's between us and him. And high road it, or they could say, yeah, he's supposed to be here, and we will find him. Something like that would send that message without it being divisive, I don't think.
Yeah, the way I would straddle the line, if somebody asked me, I'm representing the team, I would go, we need him here, and we want him here. It's really important to us that he be here. And that's where we're going to leave it. Any other discussions are between
which is what they'll do.
His camp and ours, but it's really important that he's here. The business of the football season is upon us. We have to get ready to play. Everyone here is committed, and we want to be a part of that.
I really like Adam Peters, right? Mm-hmm. Have since he was in San Francisco, and if it, people tell me for 5 years before he became a GM, he's going to be awesome. And so far, he's been awesome.
Pretty good returns, yeah.
He says nothing. And I don't mean that in some pejorative way or something. I'm not trying to be negative. But you know this, like, occasionally, he came on our show for 20 minutes. He'll give you one or two answers you can kind of pick at or talk about in the future. It gives you a little insight. But for the most part, he is the best at saying nothing.
Speaking, but saying nothing.
He doesn't give you anything.
Mm-hmm.
By design.
Yeah.
Tomorrow is not going to be different. I mean, he's just not going to go out there and cut some promo, especially when it comes to McLaurin, their best player. They're going to high road this thing. Dan Quinn is going to do the exact same thing, but I would say if somebody makes any kind of comment, again, it's not going to be anti-Terry at all, but where they talk about the brotherhood and getting him on the same page and don't take away from the squad or however they go about it, it would be Quinn more so than Peters, I think, that would say something like, hey, we need him here. Like,
yeah.
It's go time, man. It's time to go win a Super Bowl together, brother. Let's rock and roll. Like, turn that hat backwards and let's go play football, man.
Yeah, that's what the betting odds would say, right? It would be Quinn that would speak more to the urgency of it because, you know, he's worried about the guys in the room. I mean, Peters has to think about this week, this month, this year, 5 years, you know, everything in between. Dan Quinn's like, how do we get ready for week one?
So the way you described it to me on the phone earlier today was that you still can't work yourself into a lather over the dispute.
Yeah.
Like, as we sit here today on a 1 to 100 scale of, I don't even want to say being annoyed, but let's say...
I tried to find a way to quantify this last week, yeah.
You are still a zero, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, I said after Terry spoke, I went from a 2 out of 100 to a 12. Still very relaxed about everything.
Just because you still know that it's going to get done, or if it doesn't get done, you don't care that much?
No, it's more the former. Like, to me, the thing I kept coming back to, and I wanted to give you a chance to weigh in on this, that's why I bring it back up again. I was hanging out with Tobes last Friday doing the show, and I said, at the end of the day for me, the thing that I've wanted more than anything else, and, you know, aside from criminal stuff having to do with the owner, allegedly, whatever I have to say, was please have a reasonable football operation, which includes a general manager that's competent, thoughtful, not just a drinking buddy, not somebody that you got to deflect, but like an actual honest-to-God GM that makes GM decisions. They got a great one. Seems like they got a really qualified one. They got a really qualified assistant GM. They got a really good front office. That front office is currently conducting business. This is the business of football. We don't do this very often here where we have a guy signing a third contract, but everywhere else it's pretty normal. Great track record in San Francisco of signing people, track record in Detroit of people being signed, and the interim where it's not done during OTAs and this mini camp or, you know, post-draft or this, everybody's, this is the end of the world, the apocalypse is upon us, the end of days is here. Adults are conducting business. Now, if we start getting to the point, I said my drop-dead date was the second preseason game. If he's not there on August 18th, because it really has gotten to this point where they really are angry at each other and there really is animus, I will then change my tune. But that is a long time from now. Nothing has been lost yet. This is not really a problem. This is just the normal run of events where a team has all the leverage, according to the CBA. The player was doing everything he possibly can to agitate and force public pressure. This is just normal. I just can't get worked up yet.
Yeah, I think the lead there, which is the last portion of what you said, I categorically agree with, which is to say that if he's not there in mid-August, then you change your tune, mm-hmm. that nothing is really lost. This is a guy who's been in this offense. This is not a new offense, not a new play caller, not a new quarterback, who is very much going to outwork everybody whenever he shows back up. And get right back into game shape. He's already in exceptional shape. We know what kind of work ethic he has. I worry zero about Terry McLaurin being ready for the start of the season. Zero. So I agree with almost everything you just said. Now, there are other specifics there that I would refute a little bit, which is, you know, when you say what you just did, it feels very in Adam Peters we trust, which is what people like to do with Rivera or Peters anytime they want them to be above reproach, which I don't think is what you're doing. But this idea of, all I've ever wanted is a good general manager, and now I have one, so I'm just going to let him operate. Well, sure. You know, he's earned the benefit of the doubt, to be clear. But I don't do the just, like, blank check for the executive that I like thing. With every single situation, I think critical thinking every step of the way is kind of what we do here. It's taking inventory. It's trying to figure it out. And if examine the situation and you go, okay, they're doing a good job with this. I think that's perfectly fine. But when you say this is pretty normal, disagree. It is not pretty normal for the face of a franchise to hold a press conference offsite with the entire media corps from your city, where he then bashes and belittles the way the team has handled business, specific to him, over the offseason. That's Trey Hendrickson-ish. You know, that's the Bengals. That is dysfunctional, is what that is, honestly. That's not where you want to be. That's not that common. Again, in the way of, like, he's not at a practice talking with a media-sanctioned PR staff. None of that happened. He is at a car dealership where, you know, his people put out, he's going to be here, come listen to him speak, and then he gets a bunch of things off his chest. We haven't had that one around here in a while. It's also not normal for a player to be liking tweets of fans calling the team disrespectful toward him because, did you see this thing they did over the weekend where they, or maybe it was Friday, they put out like the pictures of all the players that got married and he wasn't one of them. This is the kind of stuff I don't care about. Right. I've always said that. But this is the kind of stuff now in 2025 that somehow has become a thing and matters. Again, this is a little bit of a sign of some dysfunction, right? Where if it was John Ridgeway doing this a couple years ago, nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
It's Terry McLaurin. It's like, this is not that common, necessarily. But I could just put a period at the end of the sentence on, I agree with you that it's not time to panic. It's not time to be overly concerned. I've said all along, though, since the beginning of the offseason, he wouldn't miss training camp time. And he's about to. So that is unsettling. The only thing, if we're being honest, though, like, when would it be a problem? The answer is probably day one of the season, if we're being honest.
Mm.
Like, as long as he shows back up the week of the first game and starts working and plays, then who really cares?
So I've got a little before that just because.
But at that point, it's hard, over now. Yeah, he's going to market.
Right. It's hard to ramp up and be yourself without kind of some of the preseason work that goes into it. You know what I mean? Whether it's like some of the football, because conditioning is different for regular people. He's not training to work in the CrossFit games. He's like training for football.
Right.
So there's a certain specific kind of thing that you can't replicate running through the rope ladder. But that's small potatoes in the grand conversation.
I think that's true mostly. But with a guy like him at wide receiver, I honestly, like, he playing 75% of the snaps and coming on and off the field after running nine routes and stuff. I wouldn't worry that much about that. But I'm not saying it's not ideal to have him show up sooner. I'm just saying, what really matters is that he's out there as Terry McLaurin in week one making plays. Nothing else before that. It's all just noise, except that the longer it goes, the more likely it becomes that he does not get a deal and that he either gets franchise tagged next year or walks. Right? I mean, with every passing day, the likeliness goes up a little bit. How would that not be the case?
He's under team control. Like, they've got him.
No. What I said was, that he next year, either he walks or gets franchise tagged.
Oh, franchise tag. I missed that part. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of, I don't know. I go around the circle saying the same thing. It to me is, this is not set up for players. It's set up for the teams. We got to this point with the CBA, I don't know that the union's going to try to take it on the next time they have a fight or what.
But do you agree with that premise that every day that goes by and he hasn't signed, it becomes less likely that he gets a long-term extension done here?
I don't know that I buy that.
Okay.
Because, I mean, Bosa sat out the entire time of the whole preseason, and then it was done.
Right.
You know, like, other guys have had way more upset words, and, sure, and next thing you know, the contract's in front of them, and it works because they have no more leverage.
I don't know how many more guys, well, plenty, I guess, but not Bosa. Like, he wasn't doing an Eastern Motors promo.
I don't know that he spoke or didn't speak, but I know that he missed the whole preseason and
right.
signed.
Exactly.
And
he just
that
didn't
was
show
that.
Up and
right.
was quiet. TJ Watt style.
Mm-hmm.
Terry is to me, the words matter. Like, for a guy that never says anything like this, I feel slighted. I mean, the guy, I don't remember the exact words. Don't have him in front of me, but you know,
but that was the sentiment. Yeah.
Yeah. He feels like they have, he feels belittled he's taken for granted. I mean, Hendrickson's the only other guy right now. It's kind of done it in this way.
Yeah, I mean, Garrett said, I'll never play here again. I demand to be traded.
Right.
Oh, look, I got a great deal. I want to win here. You know, like, my point is, it's the only thing, there's only a couple things that a player can do, and that was the last one, where it really benefits them, right?
Yeah.
Is you can do public opinion polls to get everybody on your side, and the team's the big bad guy. They did that one. Now, you start playing the holdout game, you're going to lose that.
Of course.
You know?
I do think the longer you wait, the harder it becomes or the less likely. Now, I will, to your point on Nick Bosa, which we've pointed out, all of the guys in San Francisco, Debo and Ayuk and Trent Williams and Bosa, all when Peters was there, those guys got extensions after right now into August and sometimes into September.
Right.
So that's kind of how they operated there. That's where he cut his teeth. But 72 hours before Bosa got his deal, didn't look great necessarily. They eventually punched through. And if they pay McLaurin like they paid Bosa, which was inevitable because he's an all-pro, like they paid Myles Garrett, who you referenced, and you know, some of these other guys like Ja'Marr Chase, yeah, of course he's going to get a deal done. The problem right now is, as McLaurin has told you, they don't think he's on that level. The 49ers never said that about Nick Bosa. They just couldn't agree to the deal yet. It wasn't really time to do it. I don't think the Browns ever felt that way about Myles Garrett. Quite sure they didn't. Like the Commanders, if Jeremy Fowler's right, are not close to offering him league market rate at this moment, if he's right. That was never the case with Nick Bosa or Myles Garrett or any of those other guys. Like, this feels a little bit different than that if the reporting we have is correct.